Hey, this is episode 43.
Damn it, every time.
This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
And this is Shireen.
This is Anna.
And today is a little bit different of an episode. We talk a little bit about Gaza and then get into some personal stuff.
Right. It's a lot of like free association of thought.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love structure, you're going to hate this episode. Yay!
Yay!
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
What?
Hey, we're back, and this is episode 43.
I'm ready to be petty.
We're ready to be petty, y'all. We're back, and thanks for joining us. Happy Ramadan to those who observe the holiday. It started this week, or last week if you're listening to this on Monday, which you probably are. So yeah, Ramadan Mubarak.
Happy Rama, happy Ramadan, happy Ramadan.
Oh God.
I really wanted to make that work, but unfortunately, I was born at a different time.
But yeah, Ramadan started, and my mom doesn't fast for health reasons, and my dad fasts, so she's been waking up with him and feeding him first food, which is like when you eat before the sun rises. So basically, for those of you who don't know, Ramadan is a holiday that lasts about a month. It's the name of the month of Ramadan. It's called Ramadan, and Muslims fast every day for 30 days from morning until night. No water, no food. You can eat before the sun comes up for your morning prayer, and then you eat when the sun goes down at sunset. And it's like a big feast every night for 30 days.
And you secretly snack when no one's looking. Just
no!
I'm just joking.
Bad Muslim. Haram. That's haram.
I do not fast. Not that I...
Have you ever?
No. Well, I did it once and I was like, this is whack. I'm hungry.
I had to fast all the time when I was younger. Especially like in high school and stuff. It was really hard because we had like PE, and like middle school was really hard too because I couldn't drink any water and I was like
dying.
Yeah. But it taught me a lot. It taught me about like self-control and being grateful and stuff. So I don't regret having done it. I don't do it anymore. I don't fast anymore, mostly because, I mean, to be honest, as someone that's had eating disorders, I feel like it's like, not to use this word lightly, but like kind of triggering to starve myself now.
That's not you could use that. That's real. That's your experience.
Yeah. But
I don't fast because I'm not a very religious person. I don't care for much. I'm going to hell. Also, my mom and my brother fast together.
I don't know.
It's like what they do together.
Yeah.
It
is definitely a bonding time. Like even though I don't fast and I'm not very religious, it's like kind of nice to be around like and eat all together as a family. It's like a nice tradition.
I just drank some water. Did that trigger you?
Anna.
I'm just joking. Okay, I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to use trigger in a joking situation. I just saw an opportunity and I took it.
No, but I mean, I think fasting is a good thing for most people. It's just not good for me.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I fasted once, couldn't make it through, and that's that. Yeah, my mom fasts. She's always like, I'm fasting. She's probably fasting right now as we speak. Yeah. Yeah, it's worth it. Recording this at 8 a.m. Just kidding. I would never.
Yeah, my dad's fasting. I just want him to be... I feel like, just health-wise, I want people to be safe when they do it and don't overexert themselves. And it's
right.
Hot in California, so...
You have to take it easy when you're fasting.
Yeah.
Also, you really gotta commit. Because I know some people, like, it's hard to get up early to eat before sunrise. Gots to do it.
Yeah, it helps.
You have to get through the day.
Yeah. I fasted so much when I was a kid.
That's why you're so skinny.
No, it's not. That's not it. But, yeah, I think I think it's a beautiful holiday and it should be observed with respect. So if you know any Muslims, wish them Ramadan Mubarak, which just means happy Ramadan.
My favorite Ramadan Mubarak that I saw on Instagram was from Sesame Street.
Oh.
It was really funny to me. I don't know why.
I didn't know that. That's
nice.
Thank
you so much, Sesame Street.
Oh. So cute. Well.
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street. How is how have you been since last time?
When was last time?
Last time we had Raj on.
Oh, right. I don't know.
Cool. Yeah. Good talk.
You know how that goes. I have serious Middle East fatigue.
Well, your birthday is coming up, which is something about you that's happening soon.
I'd rather not reveal that kind of information. I found that people on the internet have been quite sleuthy lately in my life.
I didn't say the day. I just said it was coming
up. I'm trying to hide.
I just said it was coming up and maybe this
okay,
month.
My birthday's on Monday. When this episode drops, today's my birthday,
yay!
Okay?
Happy
I'm turning
birthday.
46.
Happy birthday.
Okay, that's embarrassing.
That's
happy so
birthday.
Embarrassing.
I'm
going
exciting.
Over the ledge.
But
I'm 46.
You're not 46.
Yes, I am.
You look great for your age.
Don't
by
you
the
ever
way.
Threaten me again. I'm 46. Yeah, it's been a big 46.
Well, this is episode 43, so you're older than a podcast now.
That is so me. I'm having trouble finding a comfortable position for my arm. I'm so sorry. Okay. A lot of wires.
A lot
right
of
now.
Wires in the studio. Yeah.
So I'm going to Seattle for my birthday to see my bestie for the resties.
Mm-hmm.
So I will not be able to take your calls this weekend, Shereen. I'm just joking. That's
crying.
About I have. That's all I have going on because the rest of the time I'm literally either watching like toxic masculinity Gerard Butler films or crying about Gaza on Twitter.
Yeah, I can. Those are both understandable things. The Nakba just happened on Tuesday, and that is the 70-year anniversary, 1948, when the mass ethnic cleansing and expulsion of 700,000 Palestinians from their homes. That anniversary happened on 7 days.
Well,
that anniversary
it was
happened
a
on
slow
Tuesday.
Burn. It was a slow begin to start.
Occupying
Palestine.
Yeah. It marks the creation of Israel and all the repercussions that happened because of that. And it has not been good. Israel has been bombing Gaza, even though not respecting it.
They're bombing Gaza because of Hamas. Hamas is out here ruining it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas is so shitty, I can't even... Like, they do nothing, they just cause problems, and then they can't even support their own people. And then, but then that's the thing that really annoys me is like dudes are out here on Twitter being like, well, Hamas is a terrorist organization and they said they want to kill all Jews. And it's like,
but
Hamas is one thing. They don't represent the entirety of Palestine.
No, of course not.
Also, you do realize Hamas formed because of what is happening.
Yeah.
There. Like they didn't just decide to wake up one day and form a group, a terrorist organization or fundamentalist organization just to fuck around. It started because there was pressures on people and some people turned to a more extremist viewpoint.
Yeah. And
that's just what it is. It is what it is. But you cannot blame Hamas for everything and say that what is happening with Israel killing civilians is okay because Hamas is claiming them to be members of Hamas and all that. That doesn't matter.
No.
They're
Hamas
still
is not
unarmed
Palestine.
Citizens.
Yeah, Hamas does not represent all of Palestinians. There are so many misconceptions about Palestine in general. We've been really active on Twitter recently, so please go check out the articles we've been retweeting. But there's one article in particular that talks about the seven myths.
It's from HuffPost.
Yeah, about
the
Israel
Jewish,
and Palestine.
Jewish People for Peace tweeted it out, and we retweeted it, and then I posted it writing, please read.
Such a good account. That organization is just giving me hope so much.
Tablet also put out the 13 Inconvenient Truths about what's happening in Gaza, which is also, it's written by a Jewish man, journalist, so that's worth checking out. I will also tweet that out. I haven't yet because I was still reading it. It's very interesting. It's very dark. It really breaks down what's going on, and it shows how Hamas has been acting and how Israel's kind of their tactics are more intense than they really need to be, and all that. And
they're unarmed. They're using the most extreme kind of violence and weapons for people that have nothing to fight back with. Like, one of the points in the Seven Myths article that I really liked was that no country has a right to exist, because people say Israel's right to exist. Well, no country has a right to exist. Just people have a right to exist. When you make a country into something that has a right, it's closed minded. You're choosing a certain kind. You're making one type of people better than another, and that's not fucking cool.
Right. It also makes a very valid point that the views of the Israeli government do not reflect the ideals of the Jewish religion.
Yeah.
Like, this is against everything they believe in.
Yeah. And a lot of progressive Jews know that, and they've been speaking out about it, whether it was Natalie Portman back in like a couple months ago, or now we've been retweeting the Jewish People for Peace a lot. Like, there are so many organizations, Sarah Silverman, like prominent Jewish voices that know what's going on in Israel is wrong and not attributed to the Jewish faith.
Yeah, go look up Norman Finkelstein, a professor whose parents died in the Holocaust, or not died in the Holocaust, but whose parents experienced the Holocaust. They lived through it. To come to America, and he talks about it a lot, and he's very anti-Israeli government and what they do, and he actually has quite a wonderful public feud with Alan Dershowitz. If you know who that is, please look it up. I tweeted out the Wikipedia page. It's insane. These guys hate each other, and they have completely aggressive different viewpoints. And look, I'm Team Finkel. And if your team Dershowitz, a.k.a. Sean Hannity's legal counsel or whatever the fuck, good luck with that.
Yeah. And another thing that is a common retort when you defend Palestine or if you're anti-Israel is that you're anti-Semitic. And we even get this on the podcast a lot, that every time we talk about Israel or criticize it in any way, that's like the most reflex answer that anyone gets, is that we're anti-Semitic. But all that does is shut down the conversation and doesn't really open up anything for any understanding. It's equating Judaism with Zionism when you automatically associate being anti-Israel with anti-Jewish, because Israel is not the definition of Judaism. That doesn't stand for everything that the Jewish people stand for. And the Jewish tradition is one that covets justice and fairness. I'm quoting this article from HuffPost right now. And its principles are fundamentally opposing with the Israeli government's actions. So anyone that knows anything knows that criticizing Israel is not anti-Semitic. It's just and if you hear someone say that, just like think twice about what that means. But yeah, it's just... keep up on our Twitter. There are so many good articles coming out right now about just a fair and balanced reporting rather than believing everything you hear on like Fox News or some shit.
Yeah, and I just also want to say that Washington Post and New York Times are not...
No.
They are biased, is what I'm saying. They are biased sources because they're America, and America leans towards Israel, which is just a thing. It's just fact. It's how we've always been.
It doesn't even just lean. It funnels money to it. It's not just a political, like strategy. So many of our tax dollars go to fund the Israeli military. It's disgusting. Because we're not faultless in this atrocity going on in Gaza. It's America's doing. They have such a huge hand to play, whether it's money wise or other, or just like this is, it's awful. But yeah, the New York Times, they posted a headline about like Palestinians have died or something. Was that the New York Times that did that?
Have died versus saying we're killed.
Yeah, exactly.
But then they changed it, but it was kind of like, after everyone like tweeted at you. Yeah,
after you got the biggest backlash ever, then you owned up to it. But Was that Andy?
Yeah, sorry. The dog in here groaned because she totally feels what we're saying.
Yeah, she's with it. Yeah, she's with it. But if you can't tell, we're pretty down. We've been kind of upset with reality recently. So this episode, we kind of decided to maybe be more personal. And obviously we talked about some stuff going on because it needs to be talked about. But I think it'd be nice to give you listeners a more personal introduction, kind of, not introduction, but like how me and Anna are in each other's lives kind of thing. What do you think?
Yeah.
Cool.
I know. I have such like talk about Middle East fatigue. It's insane. Like it makes me so anxious and irritated and like, I feel like I can't tweet anything with, like, all these dudes being like, well, the thing you need to understand is... And it's like, motherfucker, get out of my mentions. Yeah. I do not give a shit.
I do it's not like, give
like, boy,
a
fuck
shit.
You. Like, it's...
Don't give a shit.
But, yeah, it's 100% mentally exhausting to talk about it in person all the time and then on the internet all the time and then just emotionally taxing to always be dealing with it. So... Today, we're going to mostly be personal.
It's a time bam, to bam, be bam, personal. Bam.
It's a time to be personal.
It's a time to be personal.
I don't know anything that rhymes with personal.
Yeah, but just keep singing the same thing.
It's our time to personal. if you guys don't know, Anna and I met in college. We met in college.
And what you probably do know is we did not talk in college.
Nope. No, that's not untrue. We were acquaintances at best in college.
Yeah, like, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the same age. We're the same grade. But we're kind of, like, in the periphery of our lives because we had, like, similar classes and majors and stuff. But we never really were, like, friends.
Yeah, like, we would be in study groups together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Shrina would be like, hey. And I'd be like, I am so cool.
PTSD from that.
No, I'm just joking. I wasn't cool. I was sad and pathetic, and I was doing a lot of drugs. So.
Rip.
Rip me. I'm dead.
But actually, so you moved to LA before I did. I had depressing time after I graduated because I wanted to move to San Francisco and then my internship didn't pan out. They wanted me to stay on for another year for free.
What was your internship?
At the SF Film Society, San Francisco Film Society.
Oh, so where were you living in Davis then?
I was living in Davis for my final semester, but I would commute there like twice a week for my internship. And then I thought I was going to be able to move there with a job or something and then it didn't pan out.
Why? So what happened?
They wanted me to stay on for another year for free.
Oh.
And I just couldn't do that.
So you moved home?
So I moved home reluctantly and probably like hit rock bottom. Like my health was declining. And,
oh no.
Yeah, I broke my arm.
What happened to your health?
I don't know I guess it doesn't matter. But my eating disorder kind of caught up with me even though I thought I was better. And I had like early onset osteoporosis.
Oh.
And I didn't have a period for like a long, long time. My bones
That's
became really brittle. I fell over and I broke my arm. And then I hit rock bottom. And I realized it was rock bottom because I was sitting in my shower in my parents' house. And my cast was like in a bag because I couldn't get it wet. And I was sitting on a stool and my mom was washing my hair. And I was like, this is not where I want to be.
Oh, no.
That's
great imagery, though.
Yeah, I know. I remember it so vividly. And my hair was really long back then, so it was a bitch to wash.
Right.
So then I reluctantly moved to LA because I just needed somewhere to go. I needed to find like something to do with this in the arts. And then you were already here, and you were producing comedy shows around my neighborhood.
I don't know if I was producing just yet. Probably when you came.
But you were booking at least the Comedy Palace, right?
I started booking Comedy Palace, which was this little comedy show in an attic above a Chinese restaurant.
Amazing.
In Los
amazing.
Feliz neighborhood of L.A. It was the show was weekly every Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
And I believe I started booking it in 2014.
Oh.
I booked it 2014 to 2016 about.
Okay, so I moved in 2013, like the beginning of 2013 here.
Right, so I think at that point I was still 2013.
So maybe we weren't like...
We hadn't started hanging out fully yet. No, because I think I started Victory Laugh like late 2013.
Huh. Well, maybe I think I probably reached out to people that were already here, and I was like, I'm in LA now.
Because I remember you reached out to me like over like some social media.
I think it was Facebook message.
Was it Facebook message? I think it was Facebook message. Okay.
I used to use it to be like it was Snapchat,
but maybe it's
not. Oh, maybe it is. I used to use Snapchat a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
We all did. But yeah. Was that out in 2013?
I don't know.
I don't think that was a real popular social media at that time.
I mean, regardless, somehow I ended up going.
No, because I recall you reached out to me, and then I eventually hit you up, was like, come hang or something.
Yeah, and you were living really close to me at the time, so I would go to these shows that you were helping out on or like something, or I would just hang out with you.
Yeah, you would come to Victory Lap first. I started doing Victory Lap way before Comedy Palace.
Yeah.
Victory Lap was this variety show I produced with Sharon Eisman and Stu Jenkins, this married couple who are quite wonderful.
They're amazing.
And
it was walking from my house, walking distance from my house.
Right, it was around the corner at the Virgil.
And I was like, sweet, yeah, I'll go to this thing. And so I started hanging out with you at least like a couple times a month, you know, because I would go to these shows. And then eventually you started booking shows, and I would take photos at your shows or like cover for you when you weren't there. And so I would just see you at least once a week, and we got closer that way.
Right, but even before that, I remember we had made a test episode for this video series called Ethnically Ambiguous. Because I was just like, oh, how funny would it be if we made a show called Ethnically Ambiguous? And you were like, oh, yeah, let's try. It'll be like a talk show. And
yeah, we both were so into the idea. We were like hyped. We were in my apartment. I was in the studio apartment.
And we were talking to Eli Braden about it, the comic Eli Braden, who does a lot of stuff on Howard Stern's show. He does a lot of like music stuff. And we were like, oh, you should make our intro or some new song or something. And then we did a test video, and it was just so absurd.
We deleted it immediately. Yeah. We were like, we'll never talk about this again. Don't mention this to anybody. I remember we were sitting on my couch, and the camera was in front of us. So we were just like trying to figure out what we were doing, and then we did not talk about it for like at least a year.
We were like
this is never
delete
gonna...
this
yeah. We watched it, looked at each other, and just like nope.
Yeah, because I think we also like placed the camera on a chair, like a high chair you had at your old studio apartment that you had in Silver Lake. Same building that you still live
in. Same building,
different apartment.
Yeah
That's crazy.
yeah And then we did not talk about it for I want to say over a year, like that. A lot of time passed, but we kept hanging out at these shows, and I'll tell you what happens next when we come.
All right, we are back.
We're back. And then those of you that don't know, Ethnically Ambiguous did start as a YouTube thing, a YouTube series. Because our friend, your friend mostly, really, she was starting like a YouTube channel and like asked for people to like pitch ideas to her, right?
Yeah, she was starting an all-female YouTube network.
Mm-hmm. It was called Snarled.
Yeah. Yeah. And she basically posted online, hey, looking for pitches for stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hit her up like, is this a thing that I could pitch? And she was like, yeah, sure, come up with something. And then I hit you up and was like, let's make a pitch.
Yeah. And then we did. And they were like into it. And it ran for 6 episodes and before they put us on hiatus.
We did 3 episodes. We did a pilot by ourselves.
Yeah.
We produced the pilot and then they liked it. And then they commissioned us for 2 more episodes. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a little break. And then we did 3 more.
Yeah.
And then we were deemed too smart or too just political or whatever for the network. Or
the channel went in a different direction. Let's just say that. But we wanted it to live on, and we realized that maybe a podcast was the best medium to get information out there quicker.
One of the producers of show, Elise Holowicki, great director.
She's great.
She hit us up, was like, just do a podcast, because then you can like move it out faster, and you know, you can put more information in it. And we were like, cool. But then it was like the travel ban had just happened.
Yeah.
And I was going to Iran for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were like, okay, we don't know how we're going to record a test episode. So we just recorded it with me in Iran over mm-hmm. Skype and Shireen in LA.
Yeah. And there was like little segments of like your dad talking to mm-hmm. you and like what you were doing in Iran.
Yeah. And it was like terrible internet service. So it was like funky.
But it was...
Some parts were just like... like, it was a mess.
Yeah. So we did, like... I want to say we recorded, like, 3 test episodes.
Yeah.
And then we used that in a pitch to a company that's no longer around, Feral Audio. And Elise helped us get us in the front door with them. And they liked it. And then we were living there for a while and before we came here.
Yeah. And then, you know, I started working... at How Stuff Works. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I was working at crack.com mm-hmm. producing the Cracked podcast with Jack O'Brien. And he said a really funny thing to me recently. He's like, yeah, I don't understand why you never pitched me the show. And I was like, I didn't really think we had that kind of relationship for some reason. Well, I was kind of like, first, okay, Jack and I's relationship at Cracked was really funny. Where like I mostly worked from home and would go to the office only for meetings because mm-hmm. I was lazy and trash employee. I still am. And I have never once been on time to work here. We're all supposed to be here at 10 a.m. I roll through between 10:20 and 10:45 every day, and I will not stop. And that's just how it is because I am so lazy. Anyway, I mean, look, Sophie knows.
She's saying maybe once or twice you were on time, but that's
yeah, but that's because I had. But I only was here on time because I had to be on a call.
Oh.
So, like, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm here. But even then, like, you think my eyes were open on that call? No. So my relationship with Jack was weird because he was the editor-in-chief of Cracked. So uh-huh. he was, like, the top dog, but he also hosted the podcast.
Yeah.
So he was just very busy because he had to, like, run this entire website. So, like, a lot of our interactions was over email. And then he would, like, never respond to my emails because he was just so busy.
Uh-huh.
And I would be, like, sending him ideas for shows and shows and shows and shows, like, over and over again. I was sending, like, 10 ideas and one idea would finally happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was a weekly podcast, so that's how hard it was to just, right. like, get this dude focused. So I would literally go to the office just to find him in the hallways and be like, hey, what'd you think of that email? And he'd look at me like, oh, yeah, I'm into it. And then I'd be like, oh, my fucking God. So and then I would go home, because that's, like, what I needed to do, just literally find him in the hallway drinking or eating a banana, and just, like, get him to just acknowledge something that he just, like, hadn't had the time to respond to. So the idea that he'd be like, why didn't you pitch it to me? He was like, well, I didn't think I could get an email to you about it, let alone a meeting. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because as he left crack.com to start the comedy vertical of How Stuff Works, he was like, yeah, you're the first person I thought of. And I was low-key like, you don't know my name. Well, he did, obviously. Yeah, but that's how it felt in the grand scheme of things, was that I was just kind of like a rando who was like, working for him and producing the podcast, but like kind of on the side.
Yeah, that's kind of cool though. I like that he a man of few words, but like he knew what was going on.
A man of few words, man of few emails responded.
Even though he has like he talks a lot on a podcast, he's a man of few words.
Yeah,
but
he saves all his words for the mic.
Yeah,
that's how I got in the door at How Stuff Works. Jack, I was his first hire,
mm-hmm.
and then the two of us. Whatever, built out this vertical or whatever and hired folk and brought people in and whatever. And we stole Sophie, our producer, from our parent company. Because I used to sit across the street. We didn't have an office at first. So it was literally just Jack and I have to be like, okay, now we have to find an office space and build studios. Like, we built it literally out of nothing. We're like, okay. And I would come into the office of our parent company and I would just sit across from Sophie and we just send memes back and forth on Instagram. And then I like kind of like got in Jack's ear and I was like, here's the thing. We should just take her with us. And then he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we should take Sophie. And I was like, yeah, let's just take Sophie. Who cares? You know? And then I was like talking to Sophie, like, you know, I was like getting the wheels in motion. Yeah. And then I guess, you know, we stole her eventually, but that's how it goes. And so anyway, so that led to like Feral Audio having their issues. They were basically like couldn't afford to like give us studio time or whatever. Yeah. And so it was a very convenient transfer over.
To How Stuff Works.
I mean, more shit happened, but who the fuck knows anymore?
I mean, it's just a lot of whatever, but How Stuff Works has been a really good home for us, honestly.
It was actually quite convenient because Connell, our top dog at How Stuff Works, like the podcast.
Yeah.
So instead of me just trying to force our podcast on them, they were intrigued enough to be like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. So that was really cool of them. And now they sign our paycheck. So we love them. Woo! And I'm just joking.
Well, your paycheck. Yeah. Yeah.
They'll,
yeah.
They'll sign your birth certificate.
Oh.
I'm just joking. The How Stuff Works Hospital. That's our next endeavor. We're getting real corporate. Like, we're just out here, like, How Stuff Works
Branding
Airport.
Babies, yeah.
We have airplanes now. Very Rajneesh-y, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
Shout out to all my Wild Wild Country
wild,
boys.
Wild Country. Country.
All my Bhagwans.
Oh, man. But yeah.
Do you ever compare yourself to Sheila?
No.
Why?
What do you mean?
Of Wild Wild Country?
Why would I, what do you mean compare myself?
Like,
to
think,
her?
Like, God, I should have really, like, taken that route.
No, I mean, I
did, like I, hardcore.
I feel like you thought about this more than I have.
I want to make an online quiz that's like, which Wild Wild Country character are you?
And like, all of them are Sheila.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone just gets
a different version of Sheila.
No, it'd be like one would be Sheila. That's mm-hmm. the one you'd want to get because then it'd be like you're headstrong. You don't yeah. fuck around. You barrel through people's lives. You poison people.
Yeah, you're a sociopath.
Yeah, you're a sociopath. But you got the straight brown family determination down so hard. That's the funniest yeah. thing to me about Raj. Rajneesh or Bhagwan is that he was also like he was still the children of brown parents who were like immigrant like Middle East
yeah.
well not Middle Eastern because he's Indian but just the brown parent like aesthetic of like well if you're gonna do this you might as well make money as well
yeah, yeah.
So he's just like well shit make a bank
yeah
like
yeah.
you're like well honestly you gotta respect that kind of initiative
yeah.
Like his parents are like I mean it started out kind of like he majored
he was
in
just
philosophy.
Like talking a lot yeah he's always been a talker but...
yeah. And then he turned it into a business
yeah now he's a girl.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, like I said, you gotta respect that kind yeah. of power.
Yeah.
Anyway, other characters on my Wild Wild Country, which character would you be? Sheila, obviously Bhagwan.
Uh-huh.
The like timid Australian lady
oh,
who got
she was such a sweetie. She got way in over her head. Her and her family. Oh my God.
Yeah, so way in over her head, Australian yeah. lady, crazy lawyer dude who
oh
still
my God.
Seems real
guy?
Into it.
Yeah.
yeah.
The one that was like crying yeah. like, for every interview.
The one who clearly is still in denial about how shady everything
oh
was.
God.
Bhagwan's doctor, just willing to kill yeah. someone to kill someone because they asked you to.
The Hollywood crowd.
Hollywood crowd.
Yeah.
Just like producer's ex-wife.
Yeah.
Got that settlement in the divorce.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about Wild Wild Country. It's a documentary series on Netflix, which, I mean, I don't hate, but I'm mad because I watched the whole thing and I still don't know what the fuck they were talking about. Like,
well,
what was this whole shtick?
They
like,
don't focus at all on what he was preaching or whatever.
But that's what I wanted to know. Like, how does he have all those followers without,
yeah, that's
you
the
know,
crazy thing.
Like, I wanted to know how he had amassed that following.
I just look good in orange.
Every
so.
Episode, I was waiting for that to be revealed, and I was just like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's a documentary series that mm-hmm. I recommend all of you watch on Netflix. It's fucking insane, the kind of infrastructure they built. They built
yeah.
a city in Oregon.
And I've never even heard of it. Like, the thing, like, I had never even heard of this whole phenomenon. Like, It was a big fucking deal for a long time.
Yeah, it was very. I think it was also very. It was obviously before our time.
Yeah, but you would think that like remnants would just, like I don't know. Like,
well, I first heard about it. I had a weird. It was one of my late night deep dive Wikipedias.
Oh, of course.
And then I heard about it again on my cross country train trip when I was listening to My Favorite Murder because I believe they covered it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like reading about. You know, I'm like obsessed with true crime. Who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
2018. If you don't like true crime, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's my next quiz. I was like reading about it and I was like, oh shit, this is that thing I was like reading about forever ago and then heard about. So, I mean, it's been out there in like the cult.
Yeah.
If you read 10 favorite cults, or I don't know. That's like a cracked
yeah.
article. 10 cults you didn't know were
cults
actually
wild.
Quite wild.
Cults are so, I mean, like, I don't really think religion is too far off of being culty, so I'm not really maybe the best person to talk about it, but I think so many things, religion in particular, just one step too far and it's just a cult. Or even just, like, not even that far, it's just this cult
yeah,
mentality.
Yeah, definitely cult vibes in religion.
Yeah, so many. Like, look at fucking Scientology. Actually, no, I don't want to talk about Scientology. It's the worst.
Scientology is a cult. Also, what's that one? The other lady, the, like, communications director.
Mm-hmm.
Great hair bob lady.
Yeah.
I don't even know what her deal is.
I forgot what her name was.
Anyway, so go home tonight. If you haven't watched it, watch it. And then figure out which character you are. And please tweet at us. Because I'm so curious who you see yourself the most in. I'm 100% probably Australian lady who got to it over her head.
She was really sweet.
I know. She was the
sweetie.
Kindest lady. Like, you, the minute she, like, did that shady shit, she was like, oh, boy.
Like, I want to be a kind lady, but I think I might be Sheila.
I wish I was Sheila.
Like, not like all the time, but I think there's a part of me that's like a sociopathic Sheila.
Okay, that's a lot to unpack. All right, if you guys can also tweet your therapy recommendations. No, but seriously, tweet me which character you are in
Sheila.
Love
is fascinating.
Country.
She's a fascinating human.
She really is.
Yeah. She steals the show in that
documentary.
Oh, for
sure.
Yeah.
She's the queen.
Yeah.
And Bhagwan.
And she's still such a fucking with it lady now. She's like older, but she's just with it. I don't know. She's so witty and funny. I like her. But not.
She's terrifying.
Not, yeah, not innocent, though. Yeah, very terrifying. But, anyways, yeah.
Wow, wow, wee, woe, am I right?
Yeah. But yeah, that's like, other than the Wild Wild Country tangent, that's kind of how Ethnically Ambiguous came to be.
Yeah, one of us Sheila'd our way in here.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's... yeah. And then me and Anna are inseparable.
I mean. Come on.
It's just kind of crazy.
We only talk on the podcast. What if that really was? Like, I feel like I've made this
like
joke
the silent
before.
Treatment. Like,
yeah, as soon as literally we stop recording, like, I don't even look towards where Shireen is in the room.
Yeah, it's really hurtful. It's really hurtful. I'm really upset
shut
about
down.
It. I don't.
And I'm like
my
talking to Sophie,
really
our
hurt.
Producer, like, hi, Sophie, can you tell Shireen I will be cutting her entire audio track out of the show?
And then I say,
again,
Sophie, can you please tell Anna that I don't appreciate her attitude or her tone?
Sophie, can you tell Shireen that I will go on TV and flame her like Sheila would do? Okay.
I forgot to mention that we were on the Clambake podcast this week. We guested on the... it's not out yet, but we were guests on the Clambake.
Yes.
Welcome to the Clambake
with...
Lindsay Stidham.
Stidham. And, the other co-host, Angela, was not there, unfortunately. We did not get to see them both together, but Lindsay ran the show quite well.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I can't wait for you guys to listen. And we had a good gal pal of a time. Talked about feminist issues and everything and anything, really. But yeah, I'm excited for you guys to hear that one.
And I revealed that I'm aggressively not a feminist. Just kidding.
That was the first question she asked us. She said, are you a feminist? And then we were both like, no. We both said yes, obviously.
We're both like,
We both thought about it for a long time.
We're like actually really bad people.
It's like, well, are we feminists? You have to listen to find out. We can't tell you here. But what else should we talk about at a personal level? I'm so ready
you
to talk
tell them
about
what,
the Middle East again.
Yeah. You want to tell them what you're doing tomorrow?
Oh, no. Okay, so this is something that I've been thinking about for so long. Like, I want to say like a year and a half. I chickened out last year when I had an appointment the first time. Tomorrow, I have an appointment to get my eyebrows microbladed. Microbladed. For those of you that don't know,
we out here in the eyebrow gang.
My eyebrows are like the bane of my existence. Like, if I don't fill them in, I feel like I have no face. Like, I feel like my face is not framed. I have hair everywhere else in my body because I'm Middle Eastern. But for some reason, my eyebrows are sparse.
Yes.
And both of my sisters have beautiful full eyebrows. And I got gypped, you guys.
She is very serious about her eyebrow game, as she should be.
I just have like very weak bone structure, so I feel like I need my eyebrows to like help me out a little bit. So I would also
you do not have weak bone structure.
I have like no cheekbone and no jaw. I just want like a little bit of both.
I can see both.
Anyways, I'm
no
also,
jaw.
I mean, like when I
y'all tweet a Shireen, is she pretty?
That's not what I'm. I'm not fishing. I hate fishing. But my point is, I feel like having my filled in eyebrows, and I would just love to have eyebrows in the shower, maybe when I maybe an eyebrow or two in the pool for the summertime. Like, I want to wake up with eyebrows. I want that eyebrow life. And I obviously have some eyebrow hairs. Like, they're not like non-existent, but I just crave the filled in look all the time because I feel like it's like part of my whole vibe now. Like, mm-hmm. without my eyebrows, who am I?
Yes.
So tomorrow I'm getting them microbladed, and I really hope it goes well, especially because I'm talking about it on the podcast now and you'll see me. But
we're all very excited for
you. I'm terrified. I'm really nervous because the aftercare is really intense.
Right. You can't shower. You can't. Or you can't get them wet
for like 2 weeks. You can't exercise for 2 weeks.
Because you can't sweat.
Yeah. Mm. You can't. You just have to like be very meticulous about the aftercare. So I'm going to be wearing a lot of dry shampoo and hats for the next couple of weeks.
Hats to stop the rain?
To stop my dirty hair. Oh, from being seen by everybody.
But you can cover them up and shower.
Yeah. I was thinking of going to like a dry bar and maybe getting my hair washed there or something. Don't they do that at a dry bar? Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to live my best life.
You should.
But yeah, that's happening tomorrow. And I feel strange. I feel like kind of, I don't know, not shallow. I'm doing this for myself because I know I've been thinking about it for a while, and I'm just going to keep thinking about it if I don't do it. So
yeah, you've been talking about it for a while too, so you might as well just do it. Yeah. Like, I think you'll be much happier not having to like
fill them in every day. Yeah. But I'm just so envious of everyone that has, like, Anna's eyebrows are beautiful. She doesn't even touch them, and they're just like full and gorgeous.
I do touch them,
but I mean like fill them in. I mean, like, you don't have to, like,
that's true.
You know, you don't have to like wake up and like think you have no eyebrows all the time.
Right, but I do. But I also have the opposite. Like, if I don't maintain my eyebrows, next thing you know, I have like a giant fur thing across my face because I'm a unibrower.
Oh yeah.
Unibrower. It sounds like unibomber.
Yeah, I'm going to say it.
I'm a unibrower.
I am the unibrower.
I am the unibrower. We are the unibrower.
I'd rather have your problem, though. I'd rather have too much hair than not enough, you know?
That's true.
Anyway, I just want to tell you guys, if you guys have full brows, don't fucking touch them. And it's not even that, I did not overpluck. Like, people are always like, oh, like, no, it's like, I haven't touched my eyebrows, really, in a long time. They just don't grow. And they're asymmetrical. Like, my right one starts, like, in the middle of my eye. Like, why? I don't understand.
Wait, really?
Like, this one is, like, just, like, there's no...
It's shorter. Hair.
Yeah, it's just shorter.
That's interesting.
It's just, like, I don't understand. My mom has thin eyebrows, too, but yeah, I'm envious of all y'all with thick eyebrows. Rock that shit. Be your best selves. Wish me the best of luck. I am terrified, but ready to experience life with an eyebrow or two.
Ready to go to the beach?
Yeah.
Get in the water?
Like, I can shower and have an eyebrow?
What happens when you shower now?
I mean, I don't have eyebrows.
No, but like, do you wipe them off or?
Oh, I mean, like, I just take them off when I take my makeup off, you know? Like, right. I'll wash my face and then, yeah. I don't know why I'm like, I think also as a Middle Eastern girl, I think I need to like, I want to have those thick brows as a Middle Eastern girl because I know that's like such a big part of the look. And I almost feel like a fraud that I don't have thick brows.
It's not.
But that's more in my head. I know that for sure. Yeah.
Doesn't make you any less.
But yeah.
Middle Eastern queen.
We'll see what happens. It's microblading is a really intense procedure where like, just to summarize it really quickly, it's each hair is individual. It's like a semi-permanent thing that lasts like maybe 15 months, 12 months. And then each hair is individually like
you have to get it done again.
There's a touch up that you can do, but it lasts like over a year. And then if I like it, I'll get it again. And if I don't like it, I won't. But
yeah, you'll just let it fade out.
But it's something that I've been thinking about long enough to where I'm just gonna bite the bullet and try. Yeah, I'm so scared. And before I talk about anything else, we'll be right back.
Hey
And we are back from the break.
We're back from the break.
So in a future episode, Shereen and I, Shereen in the past, like 3 years ago, you gave away your spit to 23andMe.
I did 23andMe because, well, okay, if your parents are immigrants, there's a high chance that you don't really have like a family tree. Like there's no...
They're not on Ancestry.com.
Yeah, like it's just like we don't really know where you actually come from. And my dad's dad died when he was like when my dad was 17. And I mean, like the only grandparents I have now are my mom's parents. And it's always just been like kind of like not shrouded. It's like, yeah, it's like kind of mysterious. Like I wanted to know where I came from, like more than I knew. And so I did 23andMe a couple years ago. And I learned some like interesting stuff. And then if you get one of your parents to do it, that you can add them to like your tree on that website. And so you get to learn more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned, I mean, we can, I don't want to get into it now. I want to get into it together, right? Like, I feel like because Anna also has done it recently. But okay. You haven't gotten your results back.
So there was a 20% off sale on Mother's Day. We're also trying to get 23andMe to sponsor us, but we'll see how that goes. I spit in the thingy,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it off, and they said it's going to, about like a week ago, they said 6 to 8 weeks, so five.
Yeah.
5 to 7 more weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do math.
I think it's really interesting. My dad refuses to do it because he is concerned about his privacy. He mm-hmm. says, what if, like, the Golden State Killer, they find me and frame me he's absurd. But
so basically, if you send it away, you just... lose your ability to commit a crime.
No, I mean, like, that's just his argument. It's just like it's a silly argument. But
you can't, I mean, look, you're signing off your ability to murder someone.
Yeah.
Or darn sexually it. Assault them.
Yeah.
Darn it. Oh, no. Not again. Also, like I said before we came back from the break, I have this long-standing grudge against my brother from when I was 5, and this is just one giant scheme to get him arrested for something. Just wait. I don't know if he's committed the crime yet, if he has, we'll find out. And if he hasn't, I'm going to trick him into it.
Stay tuned.
Boom.
Yeah.
But I also have read that 23andMe is a lot better at protecting your privacy, and like shit has to get like really subpoenaed aggressively to come out.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research before committing to that website in particular. And it got the best reviews from like other people, so I went with that. But I feel like I could read off some of my results, but I feel like I want to do that like as a group activity.
We're gonna do an entire episode where Shereen and I compare our results.
Yeah, and we'll see exactly where we came from,
and then start a fight club at the end and physically fight.
It is kind of funny though, because other than like your ancestral origins that they tell you about, or like what percentage of whatever you are, they also tell you like some health things. Like it told me stuff I
did
already
you get the
knew.
Health one too?
Yeah, well, okay. it told me stuff like me being lactose intolerant.
I just got the gene one, so I didn't get the health one as
well. Oh, well, the health one is kind of funny. Like, I mean, I knew mostly everything they told me. Like, I can't eat dairy, which is like, yeah, I know. and it's like a genetic thing. My mom is the same thing. It's like it's actually really common in Middle Eastern people that being lactose intolerant. And like other things about how it asks you like if your ring finger is higher than your index finger, it's about like your hormone levels. And I already knew I had like higher testosterone than estrogen. It's just like something that's always
been. Wait, what is it?
If your ring finger is higher than your index finger, it asks it tells you like you're likely to have it this way, like with these genes or something. But anyways, it just like it's like an interesting little breakdown of. I'll show you on my computer eventually, but Anna's measuring. It's not like a science. It's just like they tell you like based on your DNA, your index finger will and your hormones or whatever, your index finger is likely to be higher than your ring finger. That's like one of the little things they tell you, along with like I don't know, like being not gluten intolerant or
what if it's
susceptible
like
to a lot of disease.
Cancer.
My mom did it because she was curious about her genetic like susceptibility to diseases, and so she did it for that reason. And she like didn't, I think she had like more peace of mind knowing that like the things that she was worried about, whether it was like cancer or something, wasn't in her DNA in particular, because she just didn't know. There was like other things about like cataracts you already knew about and stuff like that. So it is really helpful, honestly. It's, I think it's like a cool way to just get to know yourself in a different way. I don't know. But the breakdown of where you're from is really interesting, because there's just stuff that you would never have known that was in you.
That's, sorry, I dropped a paper clip I was playing with that I was using to measure my fingers. It's not accurate. I'm very excited to see. My mom was very interested because my dad is such a mutt.
Yeah.
Jesus, what is going on? I feel like I'm in like a physical comedy act. I'm like Josh wrapped Hayden. In wires. Yeah. Okay. So my dad is from like northern Iran, which is technically Azerbaijani, and so there's a lot of like unclearness. Both his parents died when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
Unclearness. This is the kind of vocabulary you can get if you get a bachelor's degree. Unclearness. Oh, Jesus Christ. Marijuana intake, am I right? So there's a lot of like unclearness. I'm gonna roll with it because I honestly don't know what else to say at this
there's
point.
There's a lot of speculation.
There's a lot of tear gas in the way. Yeah. That's gaslighting. There's topical to Gaza tear gas. There's a lot of tear gas in the way of where my father's ancestors really hailed mm-hmm. from, whether it be Turkey or Armenia yeah. or the actual country of Azerbaijan. So. Ideally, yeah. I'll figure out a little bit more. It's or they'll really be like 100% Middle Eastern, and then I'll just like jump off.
Well, even like it told me I was like there was like sex of where in the Middle East I was. Like I knew I was mostly Syrian, but yeah. then the other stuff like my mom's dad, he like very casually a couple years ago was like, I'm from Turkey. We're like, what?
Like that's cool.
Thanks for sharing, but also why now? So and my mom knew that her mom. Kind of was more like North Africa descended mm-hmm. from, and so her and then her dad was more like Turkey and like Europe and stuff. And so when my mom did 23andMe, we learned that her maternal line descended from gypsies. Yeah, so I'm a gypsy. I'm just like a Peaky Blinder.
You're a Peaky Blinder.
I'm a Peaky Blinder.
Oh my god!
Please watch that show. It's so good. Cillian Murphy is my god.
But real talk, watch it with subtitles, or you won't know what the hell.
Oh
is
yeah,
going on.
Yeah.
But unless you're British,
his name is it's spelled Cillian Murphy, but it's pronounced Cillian because it's because
he kills people in yes. Peaky Blinders.
He's seriously a perfect man. Just a perfect man. Him and Idris Elba are my two top dogs. But anyways, yeah. So that was cool. After my mom did it, we learned like. The line of her ancestral like heritage or whatever tells you like thousands of years ago where you could have ended up, and I was a fucking gypsy, so I'm gonna take that.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Do you see Hunchback of Notre Dame in a different light?
Oh yeah, I'm Esmeralda. Now. I was Esmeralda for Halloween 1 year actually, because she was like the one. Like I don't know, like when you're growing up and you see like one brown girl in a movie, you're like, I guess that's me mm-hmm. for Halloween. That's yeah.
You don't ever Jasmine.
I was, no, haven't I ever told you the woes of my existence as a middle child?
Because Jasmine was, no. They got to be Jasmine.
So my older sister, who's a year and a half older than me, she was much more girlier than I was. She was playing with like dolls or whatever. She was Ariel. I was Flounder.
Mm.
She was Jasmine. I was Raja. I didn't even mind. Like that's the thing. Like I was like psyched. I was like, I'm the tiger. Yeah. Like I'm the fish. Yeah. And I didn't notice until later. I was like,
wait. So was
I'm the sidekick?
She was Esmeralda, and you're the hunchback.
I think I was like low key the goat, her little goat.
Oh my god!
But then I was also her for Halloween 1 year because I had like I was like tanner than my sister or something. Like I don't know, racist. But
I always was just Minnie Mouse.
Oh, that's cute.
I had one costume, just Minnie Mouse every year.
That's cute. I remember being a French maid 1 year because I thought the outfit was cool, and not realizing until like years later how weird that was. Like no one told me. I just like was carrying like my mom's duster around and like a weird French maid outfit, but like thinking it was like I'm gonna clean your house, not like a sexed up thing,
like like low key pornographic.
Yeah, like Lolita.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool. Know.
But yeah, I wasn't Jasmine. I was Raja.
Yeah. That's Raja's cool.
It kind of I have this like ongoing thing like, oh, I'm born April Fool's Day, my life's a joke, and like that's part of it. Like I was the sidekick. But I think it's part of being a middle child or like a younger sibling. You get the short end of the stick sometimes, and when you play,
I'm the youngest, so yeah. I wouldn't know.
But you, I mean, like as a younger sibling, did you ever?
I was treated like the best.
Oh, okay.
No, I was Minnie every year. Like I said, my parents did. There was no variety in my choice.
But did you like Minnie? Were you like, yay, Minnie Mouse?
I mean, I'm sure at one point when I was young, I was like, yay, Minnie Mouse. Yeah. But like, you yeah. think the next year I would have another option? But it was like, no, she's Minnie Mouse again. I think I was Pink Ranger a little.
Ooh, yeah. Raimi was into Pink Ranger.
I was, yeah, Pink Ranger, Minnie Mouse. I was Belle one year, but it was like a very like poor man's Belle. It's just like a yellow dress I had. Someone was like, Belle. I think my mom just put my hair in a bun. And I was like, Belle, see?
Yeah. Raimi was really into, my older sister is really into Belle because she's like kind of bookish and stuff. And I was the horse. So
Jesus, why are you always an animal?
But I was also never like into being the princess. I wasn't like, I'm a girly girl yeah. or whatever. I was like, yay, animals. Yay, like.
I remember when I was Bella, I was like pretending. I would joke around. Well, I wasn't joking because I was a kid. But like the cat was the beast. My cat, Tony.
Oh.
And I think I got like scratched up trying to like kiss it and stuff. Oh. I think that's what I remember. Like my arms got all scratched up because I was like harassing the cat so aggressively.
Oh, so you deserved it.
Yeah, probably because I was probably like six. And like, it's my beast. My dad's like, no. And that's oh, I don't youth. Recall what else I was. That's about yeah.
I was like when I got a little bit older, I was like a nerd and I was like a video game character or like from like Final Fantasy or Zelda and stuff. But
does not commute to me.
Well, yeah, nerd. But then, like a couple years ago, I made a very easy costume. I was a robot. I like that one. I just like made I put foil over a cardboard box and just put my arms through and then had a little hat.
I remember, this is very strange. One year in college, I was a creep for Halloween.
How?
And I wore a wife beater.
Oh my God.
And I like, I think I wore just like a wife beater and jeans. And then I had this like black short hair wig that I wore. And then I put sunglasses on and literally nobody knew who I was. Like my good friend would not let me into her house for a party because she kept being like, I'm sorry, this is a closed party.
And oh,
like,
my God.
Don't make me take my costume off. I was like, it's Anna. Like, let me in. Creep. And she was like, oh, this is a disgusting outfit. Because the hair was all, like, weird. It was, like, a really gross outfit. And, oh, God, why did I think that was a good idea?
That's really funny, though, that you thought of, like, what does a creep look like?
Also, I think I was carrying a giant jug of Carlo Rossi.
Oh, my God.
It's just even weirder.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing. I think I'd also bike there. So I was like biking with a giant jug of Carlo Rossi and trying to like balance. And anyway, I had a drinking problem in college. Okay, well.
Wow. How do we even get to that topic? It was about like Esmeralda.
Genealogy. Yeah, genealogy. You went from gypsy to what we were following. Yeah. Okay, well, that's enough of that. What do we do? Okay, follow us. Oh, you
where
know
where are we?
Give us some 5-star reviews.
Yeah. You should go. We already talked about this earlier in the episode, but go to Twitter and it's not a daily podcast, but we do post on Twitter daily a bunch of articles that are worth talking about. And especially now with what's going on in Gaza, definitely keep up with us on Twitter, ethnically AMB. Yeah. All the good stuff's on there. And then please rate and review us on your podcast app or iTunes.
Also, if you don't like the show, don't listen to the show.
Yeah, it's simple,
so crazy.
Simple rules to go by.
I don't know who's forcing you to listen to us. You don't have to listen to the show. It's totally fine. We're cool with having like 4 listeners who love us versus like people who are losing their shit having to listen to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, send your 5-star reviews to us so we don't have to go look and see any bad reviews.
5 stars,
so.
No less.
No less.
We did get 2 reviews recently that said that in the title, no less than 5 stars. And I was like, you listened to us. Thank you so much.
So no less than 5.
But there are some people
combat
that
the trolls.
No, but yeah, like I don't even know where they come from. Like you had a couple of people respond to something recently that was like,
I'm out here.
Like hashtag MAGA, like MAGA. Like where'd you even come from? How'd you get here?
Well, that's what happened. Okay, I've been on a tweet rampage the last few weeks where I'm just like, I made a bitch ass list.
But like, it was a good list. But
it was
a
list where I said, I made like 12 people before I ran out of Twitter characters of like bitch asses across the world. And I just named all the like shittiest people
that I
could think of.
Yeah, like Trump, Netanyahu, Assad, people that are shitty.
Right. And then I said, add your own.
Yeah.
And this started a Twitter fire in the sense of it wasn't really a fire, but there was some dudes who were so upset by this list being like, don't start problems. Or I don't know. And people were getting upset. There were a few people who tweeted at me very upset about it, which I was kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
I mean, it's just, the two people that stood out to me were the people that like really had no place. Like, how did they even find your tweet? Like,
dude,
it was like,
who knows?
It was like,
it was, they were just like Trump supporters.
They called
who were
you
not
a terrorist? Like a hashtag Make America Great Again? Like where did you come from? Go
which
home!
Is like, to this day, to call someone who's Middle Eastern a terrorist is kind of
like
okay,
be creative. Like, come
on.
Like, try another one. Like,
yeah,
I
know I
heard that.
I know I'm a terrorist. Give me a break. Like, come on, man. But like, that shit, I just mute those people because there's fun. It's honestly more fun to mute people because they still think they're tweeting at you shit and you just can't see any of it. You're just like, tweet into the ether, dude.
Is that how muting
shit
works? I never mute anyone.
Yeah, if you mute someone, they just keep tweeting. If they keep tweeting at you just never see it, never shows up in your mentions. So literally,
beautiful.
They're just tweeting at some like empty entity that
isn't
like gonna see
hole
any of it. So you're like, sure, dude, tweet into the cloud.
I did respond to two of them trying.
I saw you were like clapping back at people, and I was like, stupid. These
no,
people are
I think it's
stupid.
Just funny to do.
Like
one
you're
of
like,
them,
because nice try.
No, because in the top of your tweet, you said in no particular order. Then one guy was like, put yourself at number one, and I was like, nice try, motherfucker. It's in no particular order. But
yeah, some people don't read. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah, and then the other guy spelled your name wrong, and I was like, at least be witty and smart with these insults. Like, just like her handle name and your username has your name written out. Like if you want to insult me, just spell my name right.
Actually, can we go through and name some of the pieces? And a lot of people responded with some damn good additions.
Oh
to
yeah.
The list. So here's my list.
Like
and
Nikki
no,
Haley, so someone at Nikki
yeah,
Haley,
well,
I love that.
Nikki Haley is the most bitch ass person out here right now. Here's in no particular order: Donald J. Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, John Bolton, Mohammed bin Salman, Scott Pruitt, Ajit Pai, Bill Cosby, Travis Kalanick. Only because he said boober because of how much boobs tit I get from starting Uber. Fuck that guy. Harvey Weinstein, Scott Baio. I wish because I think Sophie saw Scott Baio recently, which is why he's on the list. Bashar al-Assad. Someone wrote Elon Musk, which I don't know why you hate Elon
live
Musk.
His life, I don't know.
George Zimmerman, Rudy Giuliani, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Aaron Schlossberg, Chris Brown. These are people they added. Martin Shkreli, Nikki Haley, Gal Gadot, Jeff Sessions, Woody Allen, Silvio Berlusconi. I don't know who that is. Golden State Killer suspect. Makes sense.
So some people just like started listing everyone on the Clippers or something.
Yeah, someone just listed the entire like starting lineup of the Golden State Warriors, which I was like, I'm from the Bay Area. I can't like that. Sean Hannity, Redskins owner Dan Snyder, Chuck Schumer, Kanye, the Hamburglar.
I mean,
he's a bitch ass.
Red-handed.
Polish president. Yeah, he's racist. R. Kelly, Erdogan. That's president of... no, prime minister of... President? No, he's president. What am I talking about? Turkey. Joe Arpaio, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That's a funny one to me.
Yeah.
Okay. She ruined it for everybody. Vladimir Putin, Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
The starting lineup... I don't even know,
but it's a good thread. Go look it up, it's pretty funny. But
Rodrigo
also,
Duterte, Philippines, Eric Prince, Blackwater, whatever, Gina Haspel, which,
yeah, she's up there
also. We have a theory that Gina Haspel doesn't have any furniture in her home.
Who?
Gina Haspel. She just got sworn in as the CIA.
What's this? I know who she is, but who's the theory?
And Miles Gray have a theory that Gina Haspel sleeps standing up, does not have furniture in her home, probably has never loved. She was married, but she has no kids. They got divorced a long time ago.
A loveless marriage for a loveless human.
I don't think she's probably ever felt empathy. Yeah. And I don't know if she would know how to pet an animal if it came near her.
Wow.
Or like a pet. So she's whatever. She just got sworn in as the new head of CIA. She also ran a very aggressive torture campaign back in when Bush was president. But
and
we
Trump,
won't talk
Trump
about that.
Trump is all about her, too. So
I know. People are like, well, she said it wasn't a good thing that they were torturing people. And it's like,
yeah
I would also say
stopped.
Torture was bad if I was about to get sworn into the CIA. Yeah. It's easy. Someone shout out Oliver North for being a bitch ass, who's now the guy who was behind the Iran-Contra affair back mm-hmm. when Reagan was yep. president, who what an idiot. He now is president of the NRA. So yep. that's cool.
It all comes back. It's full circle.
Ann Coulter. Yeah, she's a bitch ass.
Wait, what's that? Tommy. What's her name? That bitch girl. Tommy Lauren.
Oh, yeah,
fuck that girl.
What's her name?
Yeah, she's like some like blonde, like red pillar, basically.
Yeah, Tommy Lauren. Lauren?
She just thinks she's like so woke and like out there, like just like being like just like controversial, but also being so ignorant.
People, Michael Cohen, Louis C.K., Walmart CEO Doug McMillon, Emmanuel Macron, president of France. Well, okay. Nate Parker. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I saw him at a movie premiere and I was like, oh, why are you even out? Like, the woman you raped killed herself. Okay. Ryan Lochte, Larry Nassar, obviously. Vladimir Putin, Jared Kushner, Kim Jong-un, Robert Mugabe, President Xi of China? Okay.
But yeah, a very good
Trump
list.
Jr.
Yeah, Trump Jr.
James Woods. That's a pretty
actually,
good one.
Actually, no, Ivanka Trump could go on there too. Fuck
oh,
her.
Ivanka Trump is probably going to get arrested, just FYI. She is very shady. Her. She inflates rent prices to scam people and writes emails about it very obviously for some reason.
Needs
that's
to go
one
away.
Thing is like, if you were born at a certain age, it's like, don't you know like don't, how technology
yeah,
works?
Like, even if you delete an email, it still exists, bitch.
Also, like, the CIA, not CIA, but the FBI sees everything.
Yeah.
So. That's the thing is there's this whole investigation going on where they're like her and Trump, Donald Trump Jr. have admittedly there's emails mm-hmm. exchanges where they're being like, oh, God, I hope we don't get caught. Yeah. Like where you're like, are you what in the God?
Yeah.
Also, I've tweeted this out so many times. Do not take the most high profile job in America if you have that much to hide. It's
right.
so crazy to me.
I mean, white people really think they can get away with everything, though.
I mean, that's, yeah.
That's really what it is. Like, they feel invincible.
Okay. Well, there's more, but thank you for tweeting all your bitch asses. And please tweet at us. Which Wild Wild Country character are you? I'm dying to know what you guys think you are. If anyone tweets out that they're Sheila, I will know to avoid you in the future. Okay.
And, yeah, keep up with us on Twitter.
Ethnically Amb.
Ethnically Amb. Instagram, Ethnically Ambig, AMBIG. And
our website ethnicallyambiguouspod.com.
Yeah. It's also Mental Health Awareness Month this month, you guys. So just putting that out there to take care of yourselves and get that. Let's get rid of that stigma about mental health. I'd like to do that.
I'm crazy.
Nothing wrong with going and helping yourself.
All
also,
right.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't want to keep saying also and also.
Also,
and also,
yeah. Also, you're going to bite that ass.
I bite that ass.